back to visit Kalamazoo again and continue their strong connection with the Western Michigan University School of Music. It's the Contrast Quartet. Thanks for joining me, Francois Henkins and Dmitry Polgorelov.
Wonderful to be back.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for coming. So the last time we talked was about a year ago, I think, and you were bringing a concert, I think, that was string quartet music. And here we have collaborations in performance tonight. Again, the concert's at 7:30, and it features Sylvia Roederer, our wonderful professor of piano at Western, and the professor of clarinet and School of Music director, Bradley Wong. Tell me about the last few months of your activity.
Sure. It's been a great start of a season for us. We've been very active both in the Chicago area where we're based and also around the country, playing both the standard string quartet repertoire and continuing our collaborations with artists of every kind, from classical, straight-up classical musicians all the way up through bluegrass. We've been recently named the first ever group in residence, chamber group in residence, at the Chicago's classical music station, WFMT. So we'll start our relationship with them sometime this year, in 2017. And so that has kept us very, very occupied. We're ready to record more in January as part of our collaborations with a wonderful bluegrass trio, the Kruger Brothers. So, you know, between playing and teaching and recording and doing all of that sort of stuff, it's going to be a wonderful season for us.
Things seem to be on the right track.
That's right. Yeah. And one of the good reasons that me and Dmitry are specifically here and our colleagues are not here yet this morning is because we've actually spent quite a bit of time this semester teaching at Western. The violin professor, my old teacher, Renata Knifik, she's been on sabbatical, and she was kind enough to entrust us with the duties of taking care of her students while she was away recording and traveling. And so we've been here on a weekly basis, actually, this whole semester, Dmitry and myself. And then every other week, our colleagues joined us to teach chamber music here as well. So we've had a wonderful time here in Kalamazoo.
Hmm. Well, where would we run into you after hours? Or what's your favorite watering hole?
That's a very good question. Because
I think we've tried every diner in town. Francois and myself are fans of good, hearty breakfast.
And, of course, Bell's. You know, we have to always go to Bell's at least once a week.
Support local.
I want to hear more about your bluegrass collaboration. I know that's not what's featured tonight, but it's so interesting to hear about.
Well, you'll actually have a chance to hear it live in February, I believe, yeah, when the Contrast Quartet and the Kruger Brothers will be playing here on campus. So a part of our program together will be the things that the two groups have jointly recorded in the past and that we will record in January. So it should be an exciting concert.
Who are the Kruger Brothers? Are there two, three?
Three. They are a Swiss born bluegrass, American bluegrass band.
Okay.
The two brothers are from the Zurich area, I believe, and their bassist, Joel Landsberg, is from New York. So, you know, it's an interesting time in music right now because the connections and collaborations and mutual influences are everywhere. And that's one of the things that inspires us with in terms of working with them, because Contrast Quartet, we're in many respects are all about that, about finding music that deserves to be heard more in the traditional string quartet canon, be it music from Francois' home country of South Africa, or from maybe South America. We've just played one of the Villa-Lobos, Eitor Villa-Lobos string quartets, and it was just delightful, just filled with Brazilian rhythms and folk songs and dance rhythms and things like that. In addition, of course, to, you know, the type of program that we'll be playing tonight, Mozart and Dvorak. So, you know, finding these connections and just looking at music not as classical music or folk music or whatever, but good music and finding more and more ways to share good music with our wonderful audience is something that we're very passionate about.
Yeah, I think your first release is really representative of what
Thank
you're all
you.
About as a group. It's
Thank
called
you.
Origins, and all of the pieces come from different composers that also represent who each of you are.
Yeah, we've had a wonderful time recording that disc precisely for the reasons that you've just mentioned.
Now, I understand, you know, the Danish String Quartet does a Scandinavian folk album, but the Kruger brothers, shouldn't they do a Swiss folk album?
Well, the way that they talk to us, the composer of most of the music that they play is their banjo player, Jens Kruger. And my favorite quote of his when I overheard an audience member ask that exact same question, like, shouldn't you be playing, you know, German Swiss folk music for us? And he said, well, we let you play Beethoven and Bach. You know? So, you know, I really enjoyed that answer, you know.
Oh, burn.
Well, I mean, it's exactly like Dimitri is saying. We're in a wonderful time in history here where we can influence each other regardless of where we live on the planet, you know, and that's wonderful.
Well, let's look at tonight's program. We should mention that it begins with a live and interactive session, as always, on this series. This is the Bullock Performance Institute's live and interactive series. So if you arrive at 7 p.m., you'll get to hear from the musicians about the music and what they bring to it. That starts at 7, and then music begins at 7:30. Just two works on the program tonight, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. So as we already mentioned, we've been in Kalamazoo, well, at WMU specifically, as chamber music faculty now for about 3 years. And every year as part of the residency, we give a, you know, standard quartet recital. But this year we decided we would love to collaborate with some of the piano, with some of the faculty, not just, you know. And these particular two works are probably, I would want to say, some of the greatest music, not just chamber music or classical music, but some of the greatest, you know, pieces ever composed. So the idea that we could play this with Bradley Wong, the director of the music school, and Sylvia Roederer with the Dvorak, was an extremely appealing idea. And the reason there's only two of them is these pieces are not particularly short, so we don't want to keep the audience too long, you know. So I think it's about 40 minutes for each of these two pieces.
You can use the M word, masterpiece, with both of them, and they are substantial works, but time does tend to fly by.
Absolutely.
Once they start. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a wonderful ride, let's put it that way.
Well, once again, I'm here with Dmitri Pogorelov and François Henkens, both violinists of the Contrast Quartet, performing tonight at 7:30 p.m. Would you introduce your performance of the Mozart? I understand this comes from a different concert and collaboration.
That's right. We performed this, I think, last year at Northeastern Illinois University. And this particular movement, the slow movement, is probably the most famous, I would want to say, of this particular piece. Whenever we think about Mozart, we think of, you know, this person who was really famous during his lifetime. Everything always kind of went his way. But this, when he wrote this, I think it was in 1789, he was not having a particularly great year. Now, while he wasn't writing programmatic music, meaning adding stories to the music that he was writing, it's kind of hard to think that his circumstances might not have affected him here. That being said, it is not a piece that's in a minor key, you know, that would give away that he's having a terribly sad time in his life. But even though it is in a major key, I think one of the critics' reviews that I read once about this piece put it quite aptly, saying that it's like smiling through tears, this movement. And I hope that the audience enjoy this.
The clarinetist is?
It was Rose Spirazza.
With the Contrast Quartet in a live performance. Let's hear the second movement of the Clarinet Quintet, and the full quartet will be available. Quintet. The quintet will be available, will be heard tonight at 7:30.
Thank you.
if you tuned in during the music, you just heard a live performance by the Contrast Quartet with a guest clarinetist performing at Northeastern Illinois University. My guests are violinists Francois Henkins and Dmitri Pogorelov of the Contrast Quartet, performing tonight with two members of Western Michigan University's faculty. The Mozart Clarinet Quintet will feature Brad Wong, the director of the School of Music and longtime professor of clarinet at Western Michigan University. You guys are almost... honorary faculty at this point, having spent a few years visiting Western Michigan University and working with the students. I just want to thank you for that. I can't think that would be anything but extremely beneficial.
Well, to us as well. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't know if we mentioned this yet, but I myself am an alumnus of Western. I studied with Renata Knifik a little longer ago now that I would like to admit. Time flies too much. It's very important to us, you know, to kind of, you know, give back for what this wonderful institution has done for me in particular. I really, really enjoyed the 4.5 years I spent here with Mrs. Knifik under her tutelage. And of course, while I was here, I was lucky enough to get coachings with Sylvia Roederer, who is now going to play with us this evening. So to me personally, that's wonderful. And of course, I went to all of the Western Wind Quintet concerts in which Brad Wong played in. So it's very exciting. We're looking forward to this evening.
I'd like to talk a little more about the Mozart. Starting with, how many times have you had a chance to play this amazing work? Probably not enough in your mind.
Not enough. A number of times in the past couple of years. It's been one of those dreams come true because, you know, starting to play music, that was actually listening to Mozart specifically and that clarinet quintet being one of the things in particular that I would listen to alongside listening to pop music, you know. And it's the beauty of the idea of not only just playing that music, but also sharing something. And chamber music gives the opportunity to do just that because it's a group of friends getting together and playing the most divinely beautiful music. And in the case of this collaboration, it's adding Dr. Wong, it's adding Dr. Roederer and making new friends and bringing more people together. And I think this is something that the world today needs. So more chamber music, the more of that collaboration spirit and the spirit of sharing and giving is something that I think is a wonderful message.
Do you cue off of the soloist's breath when you're performing this piece?
Well, yes, absolutely. As string players, we don't obviously breathe into our instruments. However, in order to play in the same way and respond to a wind player like Dr. Wong, you would have to breathe in the same way as if you were going to breathe into your instrument. And for us string players, that's something that takes quite a bit of training because it's not as intuitive as you would think it would be. I know that you're a flute player, to you it comes very naturally. But as string musicians, it takes a while to master that. And once you can do that as a group, as a collective unit, that's when the magic happens, I believe.
Well, you can hear it on recordings of all the great quartets today and in the past.
Yeah, we prefer not to edit those out in our recordings either.
The nose sniff.
Yes, right.
Well, it does help you create a unity right before you start playing.
Absolutely.
Sure, but even within the phrase, just for string players to remember that a natural breath is a way of shaping a phrase, is something that maybe can get overlooked and get forgotten because for us, the means of producing sound is horsehair on the string. You technically don't need to breathe. You technically don't need to do any of those things. However, it takes away this element of natural connection with the music.
Unless you're playing for opera singers all the time,
right,
you're going to forget from time to time.
Right.
But that's a lot about Mozart's life was oriented toward singing and the opera and creating vocal works too.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Throughout most of his works, you can draw parallels, you know, especially you know, we teach here at Western, and when you go through the violin concertos, you know, yes, he was only 19 when he wrote it, but he already wrote a few operas. Mm-hmm. So, and you can hear the similarities in the genre or the cross genres. You can definitely get the people to wrap their heads around it that way, you know.
I love that you can zero in like a microscope on many, many moments, like simply the breath before a phrase begins, and all four of you plus the soloist are making micro decisions about how your hands feel, how the bow feels, and but you can also that's just a small example of these mini decisions that happen throughout a 30-minute piece.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you also have to keep in your mind the big picture.
Absolutely.
Like, are we slowing down to the point where it's getting boring, or, you know, what right. what to do?
Yeah,
with
without
the
big picture, the music doesn't really happen. Let's put it that way. Without the small picture stuff too. I mean, that's where a lot of the brilliance of the performance rests, of course, in the small details. However, if you can't step back and take in the entire phrase of a piece of music, for example, it gets lost to the audience, because quite honestly, most audience members do not notice a lot of these things, that the small, minute detail things. And the overall effect of the performance is the most important part, for sure.
Would you remind us of the other members of your quartet who aren't here today?
Our colleagues that will be coming into town in just a couple hours are violist Ben Weber, who's joined us permanently about a year ago, and our cellist is Gene Hatmaker, our wonderful friends and colleagues that we've been playing together with in different capacities, but in Gene's capacity specifically for the past, what, 8 years?
Eight years now.
And Ben has been playing as a full-time violist with the Contras Quartet for about a year and a half now, or a year and a few months. But we've worked with him as a violist in our group as a substitute violist a number of times before that as well.
Great, great. Again, the concert is tonight. At 7 p.m. is the interactive portion, a preview of the concert, and 7:30 music begins. The concert features the clarinet quintet by Mozart and the piano quintet by Antonín Dvořák. And I think let's turn our attention to the Dvořák now. Okay, folk melodies. That's the first, and sort of a bouncing, rollicking finale is what I remember.
Absolutely. And this is a good segue from the folk music conversation we had earlier. Dvořák is obviously most famous for the fact that he really wanted to either directly quote folk music from his native Czechoslovakia at the time, or Bohemia. Bohemian folk melodies mainly, or simply creating new music in the same style as some of these pieces. Now, I think that the piece this evening falls into the latter category, where he manages to put, for example, a scherzo in there in the style of a Bohemian furiante, which is a dance that they have. But it's not something that he quotes from a traditional folk melody. He wrote it by himself, and it's absolutely fascinating. And I think Dmitri and myself, a little side note on our own history with Dvořák, I remember when we started playing together, one of the first connections we had was that we loved the chamber music of Dvořák. And this piece in particular, we mentioned the length and the scope of the piece. However, like you say, it flies by, because there is not a single moment, I believe, in this piece that is not absolutely magnificent. And while you can say that of many, like you said, the M-word masterpieces, this one in particular is a huge favorite of ours, and we enjoy playing it any chance we get, basically.
A reminder of the backstory of Dvořák. This program note in this recording starts with, Dvořák was a late bloomer.
Right.
he worked in obscurity for a while, and something crossed the desk of Johannes Brahms, who looked at it and thought, this is marvelous music, and helped him get published. He introduced him to, what, Simrock, publisher?
That's right. And we actually just performed his 9th string quartet, which he dedicated to Brahms, you know, and so they had a very close relationship, because Brahms helped him launch his career, as you say.
And the other famous thing is that Dvorak came to the United States.
Exactly.
So right, yeah. That would have been after this piece was written?
Absolutely, yeah. He obviously, the reason we love him for that same reason, for incorporating folk melodies of not only his own Bohemia, but when he came to the States, I think he was here for about a year. He was actually invited to come.
More like 3 years.
3 years, that's right. And he was invited to actually come permanently as the director of music in the music school in New York, Manhattan. But he was a little too homesick, so he returned after the 3 years that Dmitri mentioned. But not before he kind of soaked in all of the local folk music. And, you know, and obviously when he went back, he wrote a bunch of music with American folk music in it, probably the most famous of which is the slow movement of the Ninth Dvorak Symphony, the New World Symphony, where he takes a direct quote from an existing folk melody. But also the American String Quartet, which we've played several times, and it's wonderful music. We love him here in Stateside, as they say.
Well, you guys have introduced Dvorak for long enough. I'm going to give you a break. Let's hear music from this Firkushny recording. That's Rudolf Firkushny, who is in some ways related to Dvorak through his teacher, Jana Cech, who came from the same region. Let's hear Firkushny and the Ridge String Quartet and a portion of the opening movement of the Opus 81 Piano Quintet. Well, that's the opening movement of the Dvorak Piano Quintet, Opus 81 in A major. We heard a recording with the Czech pianist Rudolf Firkushny and the Ridge String Quartet. Even better is a live performance, which you are able to hear tonight. This is a rare performance of the full Dvorak Piano Quintet at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University, played by the Contrast Quartet with pianist Sylvia Roederer and Francois Henkins and Dmitri Pogorelov. And I were speaking during the music, singing some of Sylvia's praises. You've had a chance to rehearse this with her, both in Chicago and you'll rehearse here.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
What are some of the things about her playing that you enjoy?
Well, from the very first time you play with Sylvia, you notice that she is a trained chamber musician. She is an extremely sensitive, acute listener, and insofar as balancing with strings, which is a particularly difficult thing to do as a pianist. You've got an instrument that's designed to play above a whole symphony orchestra, and here you have only four individual instruments, and somehow she manages to bring that out, have a wonderful balance with the group, while still maintaining that intensity of the music that it still requires, you know, and that's an extremely difficult skill. Dmitri's parents are pianists, and we talk about this quite frequently, how difficult it is for pianists to do that, and she is phenomenal at it.
It is something I've learned over the years, like it slowly dawned on me, that pianists really do control almost registers of the keyboard. It's the same keyboard, but much like an organist pulling out stops, they can like almost mentally and physically adjust to create different levels of piano.
Well, when they want to, absolutely.
Exactly.
But again, when the idea is the idea of sharing, the idea is to collaborate, the idea is to bring out the best out of each other to make sure that the whole is beautiful and satisfying to the listeners. That comes from within. That's not just a mere technique. That's a desire to highlight a colleague, to then kind of bring out your own interesting line somewhere there, and then weave this beautiful tapestry of a piece of music. And a Dvorak Quintet is a great example of that, because it's not a piano concerto. It's not, as sometimes is, a first violin piece and then everyone else is subordinate. It's truly five interesting people that have wonderful things to say, but they don't talk over each other. It's a conversation, and it's a wonderful story that they're telling. Honestly, that Dvorak piano quintet, we're playing number two, quintet number two, just in case there is maybe somebody who wants to hear specifically the first Dvorak quintet. They're not going to hear it tonight. It's going to be the second, the famous quintet. But it's just such an incredible piece of music. Every movement with its own distinct character, but a part of a beautiful whole.
You know, I was driving home last night and heard performance today, and they featured a Brahms string quartet, and it was dense and dark and really hard to kind of hear anything like opened up in the middle, whereas Dvorak's writing feels more like wider and more room for everybody. Is that accurate, or can you speak to Dvorak's part writing?
I'm hesitant to compare Dvorak with Brahms, because I'm very biased towards one of these two composers. So I'm very happy to talk about Dvorak, because I think he's a wonderful melodist. The interesting thing about Dvorak is that listening to just each individual part makes sense within itself. It's a great experience to just look at the score and just follow the viola line, even if it's not the beginning of the second movement, which is a famous viola solo. Just kind of keep on going after that. And it's stuff that is so singable. It's stuff that's so within itself satisfying. But somehow Dvorak manages to do it in such a way that that the other lines don't suffer. You know, it just becomes this this dialogue of parts. For a violinist, I don't know, François, you may or may not agree, Dvorak wasn't very kind to us. The writing isn't particularly pleasant to, you know.
I thought he could play violin.
He was a violist, maybe that explains the wonderful viola tunes, but he certainly was one of those composers who probably looked at the range of the instrument and went, "Oh, you can play this high? Theoretically, well, why won't you?"
Yeah.
And let's put this in the key with 17 sharps or 27 flats, and everything's just going to be great, right? Kind of not unlike Beethoven in that respect. But the problem, the wonderful problem was Dvorak's music, is that the music itself is so incredible that if it takes 15 hours to learn two bars, you know, I'm just saying, for example, if it's the most difficult music technically that one has to play, it's so worth it. And going around these challenges and figuring out how to make that happen just becomes this great and satisfying experience of getting yourself closer to that genius.
François, Dimitri, we are just about out of time, and we have to fit in a little more Dvorak before we hear news at the top of the hour. So I'm going to ask for final thoughts and remind folks that the concert begins at 7:30 p.m. Music begins at 7:30. There's a 7 p.m. live and interactive portion. Details are at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. Last words, François?
Well, but the last words I would like to say is, as a string quartet chamber musician, we are extremely fortunate that we get to play only music that we love, and we get to pick the music that we love. And this evening's music is absolutely exceptional. We're all extremely excited to share it with you, and we hope to see you all there.
And your thoughts, Dimitri?
Absolutely. It's great to be able to be back to Western Michigan University and to collaborate with a wonderful faculty. And we're just so excited to be a part of this. Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you back, and all the best in tonight's concert.
Thank you.